Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 331 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. All right, we're going to talk a lot of basketball tonight. In a little while, I'll be visiting with two of the stars from last night's Jayhawk Hoops doubleheader at Ankeny High, which resulted in wins for the Ankeny Centennial girls and the Ankeny boys. But right now, my first guest is one of the sponsors for Ankeny Fanatic, and he has been on the podcast before. He is Chris Doubleday of the Doubleday Insurance Agency. Chris, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Well, I want to have you on here to talk a little sports. I know you're a big Iowa State fan, and it's certainly been an interesting year up there in Ames. Let's start with the basketball team. Of course, they suffered their first loss last night. That was a tough one. I planned to go out and watch it after the games at Ankeny High, but there really wasn't much point in going over to watch it. By the time I got out of the gym, it was almost over, and they were down by 20, I think. So what do you think of the game?
You know, I'm a superstitious person, right? So I turned the TV off. And of course, that would result in win, right? Just listening to it on the radio. It didn't work, Dan.
Didn't work.
Didn't work. No, it was an absolute crap show. I mean, we couldn't play defense. We couldn't play offense. And Kansas could not miss from 3-point. I mean, what were they, 12 to 24?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's just incredible. And that's usually Iowa State. You know, that's usually our stat, hitting the 3-pointers. We couldn't make a layup. And turnover city that first half. We had 10 turnovers in the first half with Joshua Jefferson, unfortunately, having 5 of those. And just a lot of them were unforced. That's what's so frustrating is, you know, when Kansas is playing defense and you're throwing the ball to them, that's very frustrating.
Well, this game certainly worried me. I mean, Iowa State was favored to win there for the first time ever, I think. So you'd think if they were ever going to win there, that this would be one of the years that they would do it. But I mean, did you worry about this game going into it?
Yeah, I'm like you. You never think you're going to win at Kansas. I mean, look how many times you and I have gone to Fog Allen and thinking we had a chance. And that one game we went to, though, we only lost by 2.
That was the one that Caleb Grill had the shot to win it, right?
That's right. Yeah, it just incredible how Fog Allen is such a, just like Hilton Coliseum, you know. How many people go in there and thinking they've got a chance and then we just blow them out. And let's hope that happens the rest of the season, you know, that we just can't get a good start to a game, you know. It seems like the second half we come out, hey, we're ready to go, but that's too late, especially last night. It was not a fun game to watch.
Well, coming into this year, what were your expectations for this team? Because I know I looked at this team, and I kind of thought they'd be maybe about as good as they were last year, maybe like they might get the Sweet 16, but I didn't. At the beginning of the year, I did not expect this team to get any farther than that because I just didn't feel like they had a go-to guy. I mean, Lipsy's hurt all the time, or at least he has been in the past. You know, Milan disappears at times. You know, Jefferson does have some inconsistency issues with the turnovers and things. So I wasn't sure if any of those guys, you know, could take the leap forward and be like the guy. But up till now, all three of them, you know, have been playing like an All-American. So, I mean, they certainly exceeded my expectations to this point. What kind of expectations did you have?
Yeah, I was like you. And don't get me wrong, love TJ. I mean, best coach we've ever had. And that's saying something. We've had some doggone good coaches. But it just seems like at the beginning of the year, we're world beaters. And the second half of the year, I don't know if we're worn out or and I don't know enough to know what the answer is. But it just seems like we just get worse and worse as the season goes on. So, no, I didn't have any high expectations. I expected us to go to the NCAA tournament, of course, and hopefully win at least one, if not two games. But yeah, I didn't have super high hopes, but then we're drawn in again, you know,
right,
like we are every year. And I don't know. I don't, if everybody can keep injury free and keep doing what they're doing, then I, especially with Bateman and Nelson and Heisey, and if they can kind of step up their games a little bit mm-hmm. in support. I mean, last night, Bateman was our leading scorer along with J-Jeff at 12 points. Now, you got to have more than 12 points, but right. but still, I mean, that's pretty good. And Heisey had 10. He hit 2 threes. So, you know, you're kind of feeling good about the support players. But, man, our starters last night were just non-existent.
Well, and speaking of that, you know, Torrey was so good early on, and his defense is still there, but boy, his offense has kind of taken a nosedive. It seems like he's kind of plateaued, hasn't it?
Yeah, they talked about that. I saw it today, several people talking about that maybe it's the freshman curse or
wall.
Yeah. But he's a heck of a, gosh, he is so much fun to watch on defense. I mean, he gets after it. And he helped Peterson last night. What did Peterson have? 12, 13, something like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't he average like 30 or?
Yeah, sure. Well, and I don't think Buchanan played a whole lot last night. I don't know what his issue was, but.
No, they're talking. From what I saw and then what I've listened to today, it just seems like they're wondering if, you know, he hasn't played against this kind of physical force in years past or as many minutes. And they're just wondering if he's kind of hit a wall. I know he's a senior or whatever, but maybe he's hit a wall and, you know, he's kind of going backwards a little bit. I hope not. You know, hopefully he can get it together and get going. But he just can't seem to do anything offensively in the last few games, you know. So hopefully he and the coaching staff can figure out what's going on there and get him going again, because he's huge. I mean, he's the difference.
He's been so good, yeah. Well, obviously, this one loss doesn't hurt them, you know, that much. They would still be a number one seed if the tournament started today, and they do have some winnable games coming up, as long as they get back to their old selves. And they do have a tough stretch coming up in February that they need to be ready for. But should be a fun rest of the season.
Well, what kills me is. Again, listening today, some people were saying, no, they're a number two seed now. Michigan has come back to a number one seed. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. We lost at Kansas. Michigan lost to Wisconsin, who is just, you talk about not a very good team, at home. I just don't get that.
Were they maybe talking about the second overall number one seed?
Maybe.
Instead of, because I know, Stephen, yesterday, Lunardi had Michigan ahead of Iowa State as far as the number one seeds, mm-hmm. even with that loss, because they had Iowa State playing in the Houston region instead of Chicago. So, and now after that loss, obviously, they wouldn't be ranked ahead of Michigan.
Right.
But maybe that's what they were talking about.
Well, after this loss, they wouldn't be ranked ahead of Michigan, but why not? I mean, Michigan lost at home again to what's Wisconsin's record?
Couldn't tell you.
I mean, it's not better than Kansas, yeah. I don't think. Yeah. And they haven't played who Kansas has played. I mean, look at Kansas has got a juggernaut every year of the teams they play. So Kansas could be three wins and five losses, and they're still good, you know, with the kind of teams they play, because they don't have any gimmies usually on their schedule. Not too many anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how they would rank those losses, because one was home, one was on the road, but we lost by 20, they lost by two. You know, I don't know.
Right.
And Michigan clearly does have a larger collection of better wins than Iowa State does, so I don't know.
Yeah, but. They do. I don't have any bias, Dan.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's talk a little football, too, and then I'll let you get out of here. Obviously, it's been an interesting month here since Coach Campbell left for Penn State. I know a lot of Iowa State fans were freaking out when, you know, most of the team left and what, maybe 20 guys or more are settled in Penn State with Campbell. But I know from having talked to you that you feel pretty optimistic about Coach Rogers and what he might be able to do.
Yeah, I really do. As you know, and I hate to admit this, I was going to non-renew my football season tickets, and I've been a season ticket holder for over 25 years. And I've followed coaches that just have had average to bad seasons. And I didn't care. Not that I don't care, because I care. But you know, it's just their enthusiasm. I mean, McCartney, Paul Rhodes, just love those guys and what they did. And they're always up, you know, they're always up no matter what the competition is. They've always, but with Campbell, you just, And I'd love him. He's our winningest coach ever, okay? I didn't want him to go. I'm not saying that at all. But he's just this even-keeled, you know, you don't get too up, you don't get too down. And to me, that's not sports. I don't go to a sporting event and sit there with my hands in my lap and not get too up or not too down. You know, I'm up there screaming, I'm hollering, I'm wanting to win. And I think the players love that, and they want to be a part of that too. But with Campbell, it just seemed like this psychology or whatever they're using. And it works. It must work, you know, since he's our winningest coach. But I got tired of coach speak and all that. And I was really excited for Jimmy Rogers. And then when he, you were with me at the Iowa game, and he didn't say F the Hawks for those Hawkeye fans that try to say that. He just said, let's beat them. You know, that's all he said. Let's beat the blankety blank Hawks. He didn't say F them. So I'm excited for Jimmy Rogers. And look at all the players he's brought in already, you know. And the Big 12, I don't think it's going to be a juggernaut or anything, you know, next year, except for Texas Tech and BYU. We don't play Texas Tech, I don't think.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, I see us winning 13 games. No. No, I really do. 7 or 8 games, I really do.
Well, we were joking about this last night because the one guy they brought in from Washington State was like the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year or something. Yeah. I mean, in a two-team league, that's really impressive.
That's right. That's right.
But it does appear like they brought in some talented guys from all over the place, really. So, man, he's been busy.
I feel like he's going, and I'm not saying he's just like Kirk Ferentz. I'm not saying that at all. But he's going for the linemen on both sides. And I feel like that's what you have to do when you're Iowa State. And then get the up-and-coming guys in the skill positions, like quarterback, running back, whatever, wide receiver. Because if you got line, look what Iowa's done for years. That's what they've done. I mean, they've had the best offensive line, defensive linemen for years. They go to the NFL. And look how successful Kirk Ferentz has been. And shame on those Hawkeye fans that say, you know, he needs to go. Give me a break. I mean, this guy's the greatest coach you guys have ever had. So, I'm excited for Jimmy Rogers. I think I'm not saying he's the next Kirk Ferentz, but I'm hoping he does well.
Well, it does sound like he wants to play a defensive brand style of football, you know, control the possessions like Ferentz does. So, you know, last year we had the 16-13 game with Iowa State. Can you imagine if Iowa State starts playing like Iowa, we might have a 3-2 game.
Hey, as long as we get the three, I'm all right with that.
be a lot of puns, but it should be fun. So, I'm looking forward to it. It'll certainly be different, but different isn't always worse. So,
yeah, I love Jamie Pollard. I love what he's done, and I trust Jamie Pollard. Look who he's brought us for coaches over the years. I mean, the wrestling program's in much better shape than it's been in many, many, many years. The football program, and I know people will argue with me right now, you know, but it's still, I think we're all right with Jimmy Rogers. And the basketball program, you know, with TJ, and the women's program with Bill Fennelly. I mean, there's a guy that, oh my gosh, incredible coach, incredible guy who cares about his players. And I know they're struggling right now, but they've got two starters that are injured. If you take two starters off of any team, men or women, and, you know, you're going to struggle. So I just trust Jamie Pollard. And when he says Jimmy Rogers is our guy, I believe him.
Well, there's been a lot of debate amongst the Iowa State fans, you know, looking ahead to next season, you know, with Penn State. Are you going to root for Penn State, or are you going to root for them to lose?
I haven't decided. You know, the players, the coach leaving doesn't bother me. And I understand players leaving for more money. I get that. What those players don't understand is we fans have put so much money into, and I haven't personally, I'm not speaking from personal experience, but, you know, so many fans give so much money to the Cyclone Club, to NIL, to tickets alone and parking, you know, and spending money on food and beverages and stuff like that. So they have to understand that when you leave, you know, and here you are pumping your shirt out, you know, Iowa State, and all of a sudden, screw you, Iowa State. You know, Penn State, like one guy you interviewed that said, I'm home, you know, for Penn State. And that just does not sit right. Well, with fans. So anyway, I don't know how much I'll be cheering for them. I won't be cheering against them. I know that. But as far as cheering for them, I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see how they do. They apparently have a pretty easy schedule next year, so that they're going to have high expectations. And I think I'll root for them. You know, if they're on TV, I'll root for them. But it will make me feel bad in the sense that, you know, Iowa State's team could have been really good next year with all those guys coming back, and what could have been had he stayed. But
right,
like you said, I don't blame the coach for leaving.
No.
It's a great opportunity for him. And then you can't really blame the players for following along because no. It's a great opportunity for them too. So
no, it works both ways. But also, I mean, I thought we were going to be really good this year, you know, and then we lose four games in a row and all of the losses bothered me. But that Colorado loss was just, you know, a head scratcher. How do you lose to the worst team in the Big 12? And we were their only win in Big 12 play, and we couldn't score. And then and I've got nothing against our offensive coordinator, you know. In fact, sounds like a great guy. And like Jamie said, your future, you will be a head coach. But for people that wanted him to step in and be the head coach, when our offense stunk this year, I mean, it stunk. Now, the defensive side, I could say, if they stunk, you could say, well, shoot, who have they got? You know, they're all injured. But that wasn't the case with the offense. I'm not saying we didn't have any injuries on the offensive side, but we stunk offensively. We could not score. I mean, four times within Cincinnati's 35, and we didn't score one of those four times. That's horrible. You got to at least get three on the board. So anyway,
well, I know some Iowa State fans felt like if Jamie had hired Taylor Mauser instead, kept him on board, maybe they would have retained most, if not all, the players. But because of your concerns about the offense, I'm guessing you trust Jamie's decision, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. No, I did not. Again, I hate saying this. I'm sure Taylor's a great coach, and it just, for whatever reason, our offense didn't work this past season. But no, I did not want him. My son did, you know, because of what you just said, you know, keep a lot of our players there. But if they're the same players that just lost four games in a row, I don't know how badly I think I want them to stay. And it sounds terrible, but like I'm not a real Iowa State fan or whatever, but I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Hey, we all have one. So, well, hey, we'll leave it at that. Thanks a lot for coming in today, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet. Listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, my next guest is a junior guard for the Ankeny boys basketball team, and he scored a game-high 17 points to lead the Hawks to a 52-46 victory over Ankeny Centennial on Tuesday. He's averaged 15.5 points per game while helping his team to a 5-5 record. He is Jasani Campbell. Jasani, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win last night. Your team was coming off a tough stretch where you had lost 5 of 6 games. So how important was it for you guys to get back on the winning track?
It's definitely a confidence booster. We never really got too down off the losses because we weren't losing to bad teams. We were losing to really good teams. So getting a win over a rival is definitely a confidence booster going forward.
Well, your team had posted a 58-46 victory at Centennial back on December 5th, but the Jaguars entered last night's game having won 3 of their last 5 contests, so they had been playing pretty well. What did you guys think was going to be the key to beating them again?
Just staying solid, because they're really good at attacking, just staying solid and not fouling and just playing them straight up and getting out and playing faster.
Well, your team went on a little bit of a run there in the second quarter to build a 27-19 advantage at the half. You know, did you feel pretty good about where you guys were at going into the break?
Yeah, definitely. At halftime, we just had to clean things up, stop, let them get to the rim so easily, and Renshi getting those free throws. But basically, we were just coming out the same plan, just playing faster than them, playing them straight up.
So did you make very many adjustments then, or just some little things?
No, just little things like spinning solid on defense, sliding your feet, because they got a couple easy ones to the rim. But yeah, basically just staying in front of your man.
Nathaniel tried to rally a few times in the second half, and they did cut the lead to 2 points on at least one occasion. Were you pretty confident, though, that if you guys just stayed the course, that you would be able to come out on top?
Yeah, we knew we could get a bucket whenever we wanted. It's just the defensive part was the only part we had to focus on, really. But we knew we could get a bucket, and we were confident in our plays.
Well, you were able to hit a couple of free throws at the end to seal the victory, and you finished 8-for-9 at the line. Did you guys celebrate much in the locker room afterwards, or was it more of a relief just to get back, you know, on the winning track?
It was definitely a relief, but yeah, we celebrated a little bit, but it was definitely a relief and just a confidence booster to get back on the winning streak.
Well, I mentioned that you went 8-of-9 at the line, and you're now 32-of-40 for the season. That's 80% from the stripe, which is the best percentage on the team. But I want to give a shout out to Centennial's Hunter Runchy, who went 6-of-6 at the line last night, and now he has yet to miss in 38 attempts this season. So he has made more free throws than anyone else in the state who doesn't have a miss. And, you know, that's pretty impressive. Was that part of your scouting report, not to let him get to the line?
Yeah, that was definitely. He's a really good, obviously a really good free throw shooter. He's good at getting downhill. But yeah, our plan was just to play him, speed straight up in the paint, and just don't foul. But he still got some.
You guys also got 15 points and 6 assists from Rio Aguirre last night. Rio, of course, is a returning All-Stater who leads the team with an 18.3 scoring average. You know, you two certainly make a dynamic duo on the offensive end. Have you learned a lot from, you know, by playing alongside him the last couple seasons?
Yeah, no, he's a really good leader. He's so easy to play with now. He's always been easy to play with, but knowing that I can play with him, suit up with him, I always have confidence when I'm on the court with him.
Well, your team also got some key contributions from some of the role players last night. Sophomore Keon Ford has been in the starting lineup for a few games now, and he grabbed a team-high 6 rebounds. What can you say about the way he's developed?
This past week, we've been telling him to be more aggressive and rebound harder, but I think he's been doing that, just be more aggressive for him. And he's been doing that. Yes, we're good.
And then Carson Bright came off the bench to provide 6 points and a pair of steals, while another senior, Kel Roush, had a big 3-pointer right at the end of the half and ended up playing 25 minutes as a reserve. You know, how important is it for you guys to get that production from the bench? Because, you know, you haven't always had that this season.
Yeah, Carson, he's been good. He's always been a good defender, but he just always wants to win, and he'll do whatever it takes to win. And I think he did that well yesterday.
Yeah, and Roush is pretty much a winner, too, the way he plays football. And, I mean, he's a hard-nosed kid, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Well, another reserve who played a big role early in the season was senior Sam Cowart. He had 12 points in the win at Centennial earlier, but he's been out since the Southeast Polk game in mid-December with a leg injury. And I know Coach Carlson told me that he's still a few weeks away from hopefully returning. But if you guys can get him back at some point, you know, do you think that would provide a big lift, you know, with his ability to shoot the ball?
Yeah, I was definitely shocked when he went down. But once he gets back, it'll be a lot easier to stretch the floor out, and having another shot maker out there will be good for us to stretch the floor out more.
Well, your team has a chance now to put together back-to-back wins, because you'll head to Valley on Friday for a game against the Tigers, who are winless this season after capturing the last 3 Class 4A state titles. You guys opened the season on December 2nd with a 58-52 victory over Valley, but the Tigers, you know, really put up a pretty good fight in that game. So I don't imagine you guys will take them lightly, will you?
No, they're a good team. They have good players, but they just haven't found a lot of success. But I think we're just going to go out there and just respect them, but don't take them too light, and then just play fast. Just play like we always play.
Well, yeah, what's going to be the key for you guys to come out on top again? Just treat them like any other opponent?
Yeah, treat them like every other opponent, and just follow the scouting report and just make shots and play fast.
When you look at the conference race, Waukee Northwest knocked off Dowling last night in the battle for first place. You guys dropped a 64-45 decision to Northwest last Friday, but you haven't seen the Maroons yet. You know, do you think the Wolves have pretty much established themselves now as the team to beat in the league race?
Yeah, definitely. They have 5 really good players, but they're hard to guard. But yeah.
I'm sure the ultimate goal for your team is to earn a trip to the state tournament. You know, do you think this team is capable of doing that? And what are going to be the keys for this team to reach its potential?
Everybody buying into the role, I think we've been, especially last night, I feel like multiple people bought into their role, and we found a lot of success on that last night.
Well, I imagine you'd like to continue playing basketball at the next level. Have you been in contact with very many schools yet? How's your recruiting going?
It's going decent so far. I either want to play basketball or go into barbering as a career.
Do you have a timetable for, you know, when you'd like to make a decision?
Probably in the next couple of summers from now.
Uh-huh. Well, hey, Josiah, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. Listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well. We appreciate their support, and we record the podcast every week over here at the MJ Properties office, also the Cyclone Fanatic, part of the chain over here, where they record a lot of their stuff, and we appreciate their hospitality. All right, well, my final guest tonight is a senior forward for the Ankeny Centennial girls basketball team, and she had a double-double of 15 points and 10 rebounds to help the Jaguars to a 65-62 win at then-third-ranked Ankeny on Tuesday. She has averaged 5.3 points and 4.2 rebounds per game while helping her team to a 5-6 record. She is Rylan Bode. Rylan, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on the win last night. This was obviously your team's biggest victory of the season and allowed you guys to move into the rankings for the first time this season today at the number 14. Spot. You know, what is this going to do for the team's confidence?
Well, you know, we've been working all season for this, even starting during the summer. We knew going into the season it was going to be pretty hard. We've had a few big wins the last few games, and we knew that tonight or last night was going to be a rough one, but we knew it was going to be a really good game. So I think moving forward, even today at practice, we noticed a good push of confidence there, and it was really nice to see that in everyone tonight.
Well, of course, you've been a part of several Centennial wins in the crosstown rivalry previously, but this was probably the first time that the Jaguars won when they weren't considered the favorite going in. Did that make the win a little bit sweeter, along with the fact that it came on the road?
Oh, yeah, it felt great. The day before practice, I just had this feeling in my stomach. I knew we were going to come out strong no matter what. It's definitely a big change, a big push for us. And during halftime, I told my girls, I told them, I said, we're going to win this game. We need to win this game. We can do it. And we knew it, and we came out strong at the start of the game and after halftime. It was awesome.
Well, your team was able to avenge last month's 55-39 loss to the Hawkettes. Going into the game, what did you guys think was the key to being able to reverse that outcome?
Well, they have Jayla. She's a really great player. We knew that we had to shut her down. Unfortunately, last night didn't really show that. But as long as we got all their other teammates, all their other girls shut down, we knew they have a few really good point or shooting guards there. So we knew if we just get them shut down, play some really solid defense, grab their rebounds, and we'll be good.
Well, you guys got off to a slow start. You fell behind 12-4 before coming back. You know, did you get worried at all early on?
Honestly, I didn't really get too worried at all. Sometimes we do start pretty slow. It's kind of tricky for us to get up there and get started. Just because we do have a lot of younger girls on the team, it's pretty hard coming from a great team before. But once we got in there, we got in the groove, we knew it was our game.
Well, you've been coming off the bench since you returned to action a few games ago after recovering from a concussion that you suffered last month, and you seem to be adapting to that role okay. Do you like coming off the bench, or would you prefer to get your starting job back?
I definitely would prefer that starting lineup. Even though this recovery, my injury and everything has been pretty rough, I know that we just have to do what's best for our team, whether if that's Alana starting or if that's me starting. It doesn't really matter to me who starts. It just matters how we play and how we finish the game.
We certainly made a huge impact last night. You scored your first basket to ignite a 16-2 run that turned a 14-6 deficit into a 22-16 lead. That run also included 5 straight points by sophomore Lydia Michael at the end of the first quarter and 5 consecutive points by freshman Faith Perpich early in the second period. You know, what can you say about the way your younger teammates have developed this season? They've really grown up fast, haven't they?
They have. I am so proud of them. They have shown so much growth, so much grit. And even this summer, we knew that it was going to be really hard coming through. But watching these younger girls push and get better every single day, work hard during practice, it's honestly inspiring to see them do that.
You had a couple of baskets toward the end of the half that put your team ahead for good. Was there a concerted effort on your team's part to get the ball inside, or was that just a matter of, you know, taking advantage of what was there?
Well, you know, their press is really good. No matter if they're up or not, their defense is great. It was pretty hard towards the halftime and even towards the end of the game as well, but we knew that we had to be super strong with it, which unfortunately we didn't really show that. But our lead towards the whole game really kind of sealed the deal for that, so we knew we would be fine.
Well, you guys were able to hold off Ankeny in the second half, you know, even though they tried several times to get a run going. You mentioned Jayla Williams. She scored 21 of her career-high 33 points in the last two quarters, and she was, you know, pretty much unstoppable at times. I know Coach Harkin said he tried to switch up the defenders on Jayla throughout the game, and I think you got switched on to her at times. How are you guys trying to stop her?
We were gonna face guard her originally, and I think that kind of worked in our favor, but, you know, she's a great athlete, a great player. She's gonna score no matter what. And even in our huddles after fouls and stuff, we were like, we know she's gonna do that. We just have to be better, have to get our hands up, stop fouling her. But yeah, we knew she was gonna do that. She's a great player.
Well, Ankeny was able to cut the lead to 1 point in the fourth quarter before you made a couple of free throws and then added another basket as part of a 7-0 run that gave you guys a little bigger cushion. Lizzie Beam also came up big with a three-point play and a three-point goal to help extend the lead, and she ended up matching Faith with 16 points for the game. Lizzie is now averaging nearly 17 points per game, and I know she's not the most vocal player on the team, but she's done a good job of leading by example this season, hasn't she?
Oh, yes, she has. She has grown so much, and it's so good to see that.
And you mentioned that you guys, you know, did struggle against Ankeny's press there in the last couple of minutes, and they were able to score a few baskets, you know, that made the final score appear a little bit closer maybe than what it actually was. Is that one of the things that you guys worked on in practice today?
Oh, yeah. Even Monday night, we did a bunch of press break, just trying to beat that press. Even in practice, we're doing 6-on-5 just to prepare for that press because we knew that they were going to be really good at it. Tonight, that's all we did as well. We just worked on that press over and over and over again. We didn't stop until we could get the ball up the court.
Well, Coach Harkin told me after the game last night that you're the one that brings the fire to the team. Did you kind of embrace that role of being the energetic leader of the team?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love being that role. I have obviously been on varsity since my freshman year, so I've watched all of our leaders in the past be great, be super energetic. I kind of take from Finley Blackmore on that. She was one of my biggest inspirations, and I just kind of wanted to take her spot, be that supporter, be there for my teammates, cheer them on, and encourage them to do great things.
And Coach also told me that you're no longer on any restrictions as far as playing time coming back from your injury, although he was hoping to still kind of take things slowly. But he said that didn't work out, you know, so well last night because you did end up playing 28 minutes. Did you feel okay afterwards and then today?
Yeah, I definitely did. On Monday, I got cleared. And during the game, about halftime, I was feeling a little bit of back pain. We ended up putting some Icy Hot on my back, and that kind of cured that, fixed that. I was a little sore after the game, but today I woke up, felt great.
Well, your team now faces another huge challenge on Friday with Waukee Northwest coming to town. You know, that's another team that does press a lot. The Wolves moved up to number 2 in this week's rankings following back-to-back wins over Ankeny and previous number 2, Dowling Catholic, and they're now riding a 5-game winning streak. You guys lost an earlier meeting at Northwest 65-31 on December 2nd. What do you remember about that game?
It was really rough, really intense. I think we were all kind of shaken coming into the game. We didn't really exactly know what we were doing. But I think now that we've got a lot of practice in, we've got a lot of work to do together. We've grown so much since our first game. If last night didn't show that, I can say that we did. I think Friday night is going to be a really big game for us. I think we're going to come out pretty good.
What will you guys have to do to give yourselves a chance to pull off the upset?
Definitely have to stop a lot of they have really good players. All 5 of them are amazing players, and we know that. We know going to that, we have to focus on our defense. We have to be in help. We got to pick up the ball earlier, and we definitely have to break their press. We know that they're going to do it every once in a while, maybe not the whole game, but we do know that they're going to be pretty much in press for the majority of the game. So.
Well, you guys have already seen every team in the conference at least once. Number 1 Johnston remains unbeaten and holds a 2-game lead over Northwest and Dowling. Your team just lost to Johnston on Friday, 87-53, and that was a game where Jenica Lewis made a school record 9 three-pointers and scored 33 points. Do you think anyone can take down the Dragons, and what's it going to take for somebody to do that?
I definitely think that each year they're getting closer and closer to maybe taking their first loss in the last few years. Although they have some amazing players, they've also lost some amazing players as well. I think Jenica is pretty much their glue to that team. So as long as a team shuts down Jenica, I think that any team in the top 10 rankings can beat them if they want it.
Of course, you already have experience playing in the state tournament with some previous Centennial teams, and I'm sure you'd love to close out your high school career with another trip to the Casey Center. You know, in light of that win last night, do you feel like this team is capable of earning another trip to state?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know we can. We just got to push through and work hard. We got to stay focused and keep our eyes moving forward, and as long as we keep growing, I know we can do it.
Now, have you thought about what you're going to do next year yet? Would you like to play basketball in college?
I've given it a lot of thought. This is going to be my last year season playing basketball, and I'm going to head to DMAC for 2 years and then hopefully go to a bigger university like Iowa or Iowa State.
And what are you going to study?
I'm going to get my business degree.
Oh, okay. Well, if this is your last season, I'm sure you want to make the most of it. Thanks for coming in tonight, and good luck the rest of the way.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much.
You bet. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75-plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge into today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty, it's not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight here before my voice gives out. We had girls basketball player Rylan Boating from Ankeny Centennial and boys basketball player Jasani Campbell from the Ankeny squad. And I also want to thank my friend Chris Doubleday from Doubleday Insurance Agency for stopping by. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.